But again, welcome. Good to see you this morning as we worship. Up on the screen, you got rule three. We're thinking holy thoughts and growing in godliness. There is an outline in the back if you need an outline. And I want to focus, I want to read this morning's passage, 2 Timothy 1:7 out of the New King James Version. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." And boy, we were having that a while ago with the storm coming in. Is this a tornado? It's hailing on our vehicles. It's flooding. You know, do we come to church or not or what? I mean, just fear. Who's still in control? God. Yeah, bad things are going to happen. We live in a fallen life. There are facts of life. We get older. We get the furniture disease, you know, where your chest goes down into your drawers. Those things happen. All right? But God is in control. He does not give us a spirit of fear, but he gives us three things through his spirit. One is power, and that is to not lose it, that we can overcome. You know, those that don't have the spirit of God, those who are not believers in Jesus, they're blown here and there by the wind. But when you have Christ living in you, there is strength to get through. Whatever is happening, you can get through it. And I know some of you have had not a hectic week, but a hectic month, a hectic year, hectic years, where everything just seems to be blowing up. You're going, God, give me a break. But you still hang tough because of his power. You know he's in control. Amen? And then when we look at that word love, God's spirit changes us where we're able to love. The word power, by the way, is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. The word love is agape, the same word that God uses in John 3:16. But what God loves does to us through his spirit, it allows us to forgive when we've been hurt. And if we don't forgive, you know what happens? Bitterness. We become grumpy. We become sour. And the Spirit of God changes us where we're not grumpy people freaking out. And then I have a sound mind. Your modern translations will put discipline, self-discipline. But literally in the Greek, it's sound mind, where your mind is focused on God. And this is where the battle is. This is what I want to talk about today, is having a mind that's tuned into God, focused on him. Now, I have two verses that are not in the outline I want to share with you. Proverbs 25:28 says this, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." That word spirit is mind. And so if you don't have your mind under control, you're like a city without walls. And what do you think Satan's going to do? He's going to attack. He's going to beat you up. The other passage, Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Amen? So the battle this morning is for our mind. And so there's a couple of things I want to say as we deal with this battle for the mind. One is that I must feed my mind truth. And you know what the truth is? It's the word of God. In fact, the psalmist in 119 says, "The sinful wait to destroy me, but I will think about your work and or your word." And so as everything's falling apart in our society, we have God's word that keeps pointing back to the promises that keep us strong, that keep us focused. Amen? So you have to read the Bible. That's why I'm giving you those daily readings. And if you don't have a desire to read God's word, can I be nice and say this? Go back and review your salvation. Because we as God's people, the Spirit of God lives in us, and we should have a desire to want to read God. We should have a desire to read his word before even thinking about the Super Bowl today. You know what's super? You know what's so super about today is we're in the presence of God. Next year, there'll be another Super Bowl champion, and a year after that, until Jesus comes. But every day, we're going to give God glory because he is the only God. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty. And we keep our focus on him. And the best way to know God, the best way to clear our mind, is reading his word. Second thing I want to say, I'm able to think holy thoughts because of the Holy Spirit. in Ephesians 1. And you are also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So the moment you became a Christian, God's Spirit started dwelling in you, and he changed you. Now, here's the big issue. Here's the crux of life right now. And if you look at the next slide, I must choose if I want to think holy thoughts or not. The Holy Spirit is giving you the power where you can think holy thoughts. Before coming to know Christ, you couldn't, because you had no power. But now that the power of the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you can think holy thoughts. Now, here's your choice each day. Ephesians 5:18. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command, an imperative, something you're to do every day. Lord, I surrender. I'm going to obey you. If you choose not to, then the opposite is 1 Thessalonians 5:19, which is do not quench the Spirit or put out the Spirit's fire. Now, you see where I'm going. If you say yes, and I'm going to obey the Holy Spirit, wonderful things happen as you walk with God. But if you say, no, God, I'm going to live life my way, I'm going to worship my way, I'm going to do things my way, you're quenching the Holy Spirit, and you're going to have some problems. Amen? Are y'all with me? That's the crux for us every day. Am I going to say yes to Jesus or no? Because what's the Holy Spirit? That's Jesus. That's God living in you. And so the question that comes to mind this morning, and we're still thinking of 2 Timothy 1:7, you know, that God does not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and sound mind. Why do I need to think holy thoughts? Let's talk about a couple of things. Number one, because I have a new mind in Christ. I've already talked a little bit about it, but let's dig a little deeper. 1 Corinthians 2:16, the Bible says this, "For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Not David's words, but the Bible. Amen? Okay. I can tell some of you are wondering if it's going to rain in Las Vegas today or not. You know, what's going to happen? Guys, you have the mind of Christ. You have the full power of Christ living in you. And he's given you a mind in which you can choose to focus on him, to worship him, to obey him, because you are now a new person in Christ. Now, as I look at 1 Corinthians 2:12, understand this. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And this is so important. A non-believer opens the Bible, reads it, they're going to say this doesn't make sense. It's a fairy tale. There's more made-up stuff in this than Star Wars, okay? Or whatever the newest movie is. But when someone who is walking with Christ, who is a believer, has the mind of Christ, opens up God's word, they're going, this is great. This is incredible. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Amen? You follow what I'm saying? They have a mind that's in tune and are hungry to read more and more and more of God's word because they're learning. Now, the second reason why we need to be thinking holy thoughts is because my thoughts control my life. You're going, what do you mean? How you think goes to your heart, and that's what you end up doing. In fact, Proverbs 4:23, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Any of you get these wild thoughts that just pop up in your mind all of a sudden? You're going, where did that come from? Okay, good. I'm not the only weird person in here. All right. Things pop up because we're battling Satan, the world, the flesh, you know, our old nature. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But what we do know is that what is in your mind, if you're thinking about it, goes to your heart, and you end up doing, you're going, David, I don't buy that. Okay, don't trust me. Let's just read what God's word has to say. James chapter 1, verse 14, James says this, but each one is tempted when he's carried away, enticed by his own lust. That means you start thinking about something. I want it. I want it. I'm going to do this. You hear me? You start thinking about it. All of a sudden you want it. Then when lust has conceived, when it reaches that point where you're thinking about it so much, it gives birth to what? Sin. You do it. And then the Bible says, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And everybody in this room, we've sinned against the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we need him as Lord and Savior. And when he changes us, we have a new mind, his spirit dwelling in us. And so when these wild thoughts come to us, we're able to take them captive. We'll look at a verse about that in a moment. But what I do know is what you think about all the time is how you start living. It's kind of like what you eat. You know, if you eat Doritos and hot sauce, or if you eat Bluebell ice cream, you're going to eventually look like that. And so what we have to do is put in God's word into our life. The third thing I want to say is because my mind's a battleground, and we're going to really bog down right here. This is important because some of you, we just need to wake up. You know, wisdom is learning from other people's mistakes. You know, y'all know I had an older brother who was a drug addict that got into all sorts of trouble. I didn't do drugs because I learned from his action what it did to the family. That's wisdom. Experience is doing that and you're going, I'm not going to do that again. Stupidity is doing that and you're going, I'm going to do that again. Some of y'all need to grow up, okay? We need to get wise. But our mind's a battleground. In Romans 7, this is a beautiful passage. Paul talks about the things I should do, I don't do, the things I shouldn't, I do, you know, help me. And if you keep reading, then Jesus comes in. He's the hero. In chapter 8, there's now no condemnation. Beautiful passage. But when we look closely at verse 22, it says this, "For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work with me." As long as I'm in this clay body, I'm fighting the flesh. And that means I'm going to have fleshly desires and fleshly thoughts that I will battle. And Satan knows that. And he's going to use that as an opportunity to trip you up, to stumble, to hurt your testimony. Okay? And so when we look at Romans 7, we see that something is warring against our mind. And so when we talk about it, there's a couple of things I want to say, or several things I want to say. Number one in this, don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. Why? Because you're going to be fighting your old nature. We'll read Romans 8:5 in a moment. Okay? Your old you, the flesh, it's going to put thoughts in your mind. You're not worthy. You're no good. You've stumbled. You're going to do this again. You don't think God can use you. Philippians 1:6, go read that verse. That's the opposite of this, of fighting your own nature. God hadn't given up on you. Second thing that you're going to be fighting is the devil, Satan. 2 Corinthians 2:11, in order that Satan will not outwit us, for we're not unaware of his schemes. If your carnal desires, your flesh isn't pulling you down, he's going to come after you. Now, he can't read your mind, but he is going to put stuff to get your attention. Walk into a convenience store, and there to the side, you'll see the alcohol or the porn or gambling or whatever. You follow what I'm saying? Satan knows how to attack. He knows your weakness. He's not a dummy, and neither are you. So you need to be prepared. What are my weaknesses? What do I need to give to the Lord to surrender so I can be strong? Now, the third thing that we have to fight, and boy, this is a tough one. This is where the Church of America is losing, fighting the values of the world. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. If you read the verses before that, it'll talk about the world. And you know what the world is teaching right now that we're battling? Things that are not biblical, and the church is embracing it. Do I need to give you a list of those things? Half the churches believe in abortion. Half the churches believe in same-sex marriage. Churches are now starting to believe in euthanasia. You know what that is? When you get old enough and dumb enough, we're just going to take you out to save money. There's all sorts of evil out there, and we're buying it. Why? For the sake of convenience, because that's what the world says. And I'm convinced that the church in America right now is not too far off from the church of Nazi Germany in 1939. And everything's falling apart. We're being quiet. We're being complacent. And what's going to happen like in 1939 when the Nazis went after the Jews? Nobody said anything. We're kind of seeing that rise up again. And then when they went after the gypsies, nobody said anything. When they went after those with handicaps and mental issues, nobody said something. Then finally one pastor said, when they came for me, there was no one to cry out to. It's a step-by-step process. And the devil's real, guys. But what we have to do is take captive these thoughts that come into our mind, that our flesh puts in us, that Satan tempts us with, and that the world throws at us. And so, as we continue talking about this battleground, to take a thought captive, I must focus my mind on certain things. Let me give you at least three things to focus on. We sang a beautiful song about Yahweh, the German transliteration, Jehovah, the great I am. And when you put your thoughts on Jesus, it's kind of hard to do dumb things, amen? And when you think about Jesus returning, that you will give an account of your life. And that's the problem with our country. That's the problem with most of us. We have forgotten that we will have to stand before the living God and give an account of ourselves, a holy God. And that should scare us. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from devil. This is my gospel, Paul writes. And when we don't think about Jesus, when we don't remember him, then our mind runs wild. But when we start remembering Jesus, we're going, wow, this thought that popped up, that's not of Jesus. It doesn't give him glory. I'm going to take it captive and rebuke it and get it out of my mind. The second way to take something captive is to think about others. Dad, if you do that adulterous thing or drugs or whatever, how's it going to impact your kids? Or how's it going to tarnish? We've lost honor in this country. You know that? How's it going to tarnish the family name? Or how's it going to look before others? Hebrews 10:24, let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds. You know, our problem is we've become so selfish instead of thinking about others. And when these wild thoughts come in and we start thinking about Jesus and we think about my family and others, we're able to grab that thought. The third way to grab a wild thought, and there's a bunch of them, is eternity. And this is the last one. One day you're going to stand before the Lord. Colossians 3, think only about the things in heaven, not the things on earth. And you know what happens when you start thinking about heaven? You start worshiping. You start praising God because one day you're going to be there. And man, I wished I could be blessed like Paul, where he had a vision of heaven. We don't know how long it was, but he's in heaven and he comes back to earth and he goes, man, this is nothing but a sewage pit. I can't wait to get back to heaven. But in the meantime, I'm going to do everything I can to point people to Jesus. And when we think of eternity, that one day we're going to stand before the Lord and worship him, give an account of ourselves, man, we're able to push those wild thoughts away. Amen? Just do that. Don't take me. Read the Bible. Now, still, in this battle for your mind, you have to guard your mind. And you do it through prayer. And as you pray, you're focusing on Christ. You know what? In prayer, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise Christ for saving a rotten scoundrel like me. I'm going to pray for the salvation of others. I mean, you start praying and all of a sudden your mind becomes clear. You're focusing on others. You're praying for others, their salvation, their walk. And you're praying that revival would take place. We're confessing sin. There's no room for evil in your mind. Now, hear me on this. We overcome temptation and unholy thoughts by resisting them, saying no, but by replacing them. Do you hear me? Evil thought comes, I'm going to say no to it, but I'm going to replace it by thinking about Christ, the things of God. You can do that. But it comes back, do I want to obey God or do I want to embrace that sin or that wicked thought? It's a choice. You have the power. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things is near, therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Wow. God's calling us to pray. There's something about being an intercessor that we've lost. That's for another sermon. Why do I want to think holy thoughts? The last thing this morning. Well, actually, two more. Maybe more, I've lost my place. Because it's the key to peace and happiness. Notice Romans 8. You remember I shared Romans 8, 5, thinking about Jesus a while ago? Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, now, Spirit lives in us, so we have the mind of Christ, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. God wants the best for you. Satan wants you to follow yourself because he knows it's going to end in a disaster. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by what? The Spirit is life and peace. Wow. You want life and peace? You want happiness? Control your thoughts. Give them to the Lord. In fact, up the next slide, I give you a worldly mind and a spiritual mind. Let's do a contrast here. You have tension. And how do we know the world is full of tension? Just look at the advertisements for headaches and drugs to help calm you down, okay? World is a very tense place, but when we're focusing on the Christ and on Christ, we know he's in control, we have tranquility. Amen? If I'm lying, pull me from the pulpit, but if I'm speaking the truth, we need to get right with the Lord. A worldly mind gives us pressure. But a mind focused on God gives peace because he's got it. That's why Paul says, I've learned the secret of contentment over in Philippians because of his walk with the Lord. A worldly mind is full of conflict and chaos. Let's just look at the world right now. We're on the edge of World War III because everybody's thinking about themselves. But when we're focused on Christ, we have confidence. Again, Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so we have confidence that regardless of the bad things in life that happens, facts of life, attacks, we're going to get through it because Christ is in control. Confidence in him. The worldly mind is full of stress, but the mind focused on Christ has strength and serenity. Amen? Do I need to argue anymore over what we need to do this morning? Well, let me give you one last more argument of why we should focus on holy thoughts. Because the Bible tells us. This gets back to the simple word of obedience. Because the Bible tells me. Let me give you a couple of verses. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Since then you've been raised with Christ. Okay, if you are saved, and you know you're saved because you have a desire to worship. You're here today in the middle of a storm. I praise, you know, praise the Lord for you. You can go home, pat yourself on the back, and then get ready for Satan to beat you up because you've done something good. When you're on a, when something good's happened, Satan attacks. When you're down, knocked down, he's going to attack again. So where earth is a battleground, not a playground. So we've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. What we love, what we're thinking about, heavenly things. How about Philippians 4:8? Finally, brothers, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Don't be thinking about naked people. Don't be thinking about scrolling through and looking at garbage and garbage in, garbage out. Good grief. That's why I have gray hair, and I'm only 29. No. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How hard is it? It is a choice. How about Romans 13, 14? Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus. And duos, the word, means put on, put off. But in this case, what you're doing, you're taking off your coveralls that are, you know, covered with sin, and you're putting on a new outfit, new coveralls. It is the body of Jesus Christ. You're putting on Christ. It says this, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. The Bible tells us to think holy thoughts. And so, in closing, this morning, you have the acrostic think. The first one, test every thought. Is this a thought that gives glory to God? If it's not a thought that's going to give glory to God, to where I can praise His name for it, take it captive. Now, any of you married to an English teacher? My wife's not here, so I can say this. She's watching on Facebook, so anyway. I wanted to say how much your head, but she goes, how much a noun, not a verb. You have verbs listed. And some of the English teachers are going, I don't get it. Anyway, I want you to think of your salvation. And so, honor God with your thoughts. Think about your salvation. Christ has changed you. Think about what Christ has done, what He's doing. When you think about those things, that you're testing every thought, you're thinking about what Christ has done in your life and what He's doing, it's easy to stay focused on thinking holy thoughts. Now, here's something that we forget. This deals with our prayer life. Imagine great thoughts. We pray, and the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Amen? But in our prayer time, we should imagine, what would society look like if everybody in Walker County came to Christ? Can God do that? Okay, thank you. We should be asking that. When bad thoughts come to your mind, start imagining God and what He's able to do. Tonight, when the stars come out, the storms will be gone. Look at the stars and realize there's a God that created this universe. And if He can create that, He can take care of any problem. He can do incredible things. But what's happened, we've pulled out these stupid phones and we're focusing on the phones or how many likes we get. And we're no longer imagining great thoughts for the Lord Jesus Christ. God can save this family. Maybe I need to pray for them. God can save this marriage. Maybe I need to pray for this marriage. This person's fighting cancer. Maybe I need to pray for healing. But we don't do it because we're no longer imagining great thoughts of how powerful the God that we serve. You want revival? Let's be broken over great things that God can do. Saving people, changing lives. But instead, we judge people. That's a different sermon. The letter N for think is nourish a godly mind. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read devotions. Get in a small group. Hey, if you really want to grow and deal with your mind, dealing with hang-ups, hurts, and habits, come to Celebrate Recovery Tuesday night. And then I double dog challenge you. Do a step study. It'll take about 9 months. And going, I don't have time for 9 months. You have all eternity, guys. It's coming. And in that step study, all it is doctrines of the Bible, and you're taking your mask off, and you're sharing your struggles, and there's a group of guys, if you're a man, if you're a woman, okay, a group of women, and they're praying for you. Very, very biblical. But what you're doing, you're nourishing your mind. You're not allowing that hurt or that habit to enter your mind and pulling you down. And the K for think is to keep on learning. Keep on growing. Guys, I'm not there. And I won't be there until Jesus calls me home, but I'm still going to be studying and reading God's word and trying to obey it and live it in my life. Amen? Amen? And that's the same for you. Now, if we choose not to think holy thoughts, I can't even imagine what this world's going to look like. I can't even imagine what your life's going to look like, your marriage, your family, what work's going to look like. Because Jesus has said, you're the light. That means we reflect him. And it's not to be hidden. Yeah, we're going to get beat up. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be spit upon. The world's going to hate us. But so what? I get to live for eternity in heaven. And unfortunately, there are some people who have chosen to say, God, I don't want you in my life. And one day, God's going to say, hey, at the great white throne, every day you wanted to live life your way and not me to be part of it. You're now going to a place where I'll never be. And guys, I tell, yes, it's fire and brimstone 24/7, what Revelations talks about. Not created for us, but created for the devil and to punish sin. But when God looks at you, he sees either one of two things. He either sees the blood of Jesus, and that's grace, that we're forgiven, or he sees sin, unconfessed sin, that we said no to Jesus. And we cannot enter into heaven in our sins. So at the cross, what did Jesus do? One time action. He died for our sins, rose from the grave. It's called redemption. A one-time event. Last week, we talked about 1 John 1:9. Cleansing, confessing, and we're cleansed. Our sins are taken care of, but we need to confess our sins each day so that God can hug us. You want to hug a child that fell into the septic system? God wants to hug you, but he's going to say, hey, we got to take care of this mess before you can sit in my lap. And we got to remember, we're not after the blessings of God. We're after God himself. Then everything else follows. Will you commit your life to Christ this morning? Can you make a decision, a choice to say, I'm going to start thinking holy thoughts? Praise team's coming forward. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. The altar's open for prayer. You can pray where you're sitting. There's people in the back that'll pray with you. If you've taken a membership class and you want to join Covenant, you come forward. If you need to trust Christ as Lord and Savior, you come forward, tell me or tell the staff in the back. They'd love to pray with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, hear us. We surrender all. We surrender our minds. We surrender everything about us. Be glorified, Father. Help us to have a mind that's always focused on you. Help us to take captive impure thoughts, because we know those thoughts, if we don't take them captive, will eventually wear on us and go into our heart and we'll commit it. Father, through your Spirit, give us strength to say no. Father, those that are watching, those that are here that have not trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that they will do so. In fact, if you're unsure of your salvation, would you join with me in this prayer? Dear Jesus, I acknowledge that you died on the cross, and I believe that you rose from the grave to forgive me of my sins. Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins? I make a commitment to follow you every day for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Hear our prayer, Father, as we return to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's stand as we sing, God, I look to you.